The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. And so they went off in the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me engage a short conversation about this gospel reading, which comes from the book of Mark. Interestingly, this event is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Luke tells us it happens near Bethsaida, which is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. But we're not sure exactly where these location of the feeding of the multitude and their desire to find a deserted, quiet place. Clearly, Jesus wishes his disciples to separate themselves from the anxieties, the struggles, the success, the failures of the day, and reflect on its meaning. It's a call to quiet reflection. A quiet place. I mentioned before, I think, that Wayne Muller, in his marvelous book called Sabbath, speaks about this. Say we live in such a fast, engaging, noisy, distracting society. Listen to the words of Jesus says, "Come aside and listen. Listen to the teaching of the moment." Wayne Muller speaks about the 7 days of creation. And on the seventh day, Jesus rested. He created what Muller calls menuha, which is a Hebrew word meaning rest. And he explains that rest is an act of creation. God did not stop creating after 6 days and rest. The seventh day, rest is an act of creation. So what does this mean to us today, where we find ourselves in our journey of life? How do we understand the call of Jesus to come aside, to rest and to reflect and to summon out of this time the teaching of the gospel? Living in the moment, we've gone through a year and some of an extraordinary passage of life. In that time, we heard many voices that were conflicting. We're not sure which voice to listen to. I heard a prominent person say, "Don't worry, it will pass." And it didn't pass. I heard more informed voices to say, "This is a global medical crisis, the worst since the 14th century plague called the Black Death, where up to, conservatively, 40 million people died, mostly in Europe, during that time. Here is the worst global medical crisis since the 14th century." Other voices. And we're caught here wondering who to believe and what to hope for. And that uncertainty in itself creates a certain anxiety, a certain fear. Where are we going and what should we expect? And so, in the beginning, we all ran to get tested. Thousands of people lining up to, please give me a test. And then we got tested again and we kept getting tested. And then we moved on to who would get tested and who would not. Then we got masks or no masks. We still have the conflict, masks or no masks. To be or not to be vaccinated. We're still caught in attention. And yet, during this passage, it changed our lifestyle. Children couldn't go to school. Businesses went broke. People lost their jobs. The elderly were isolated and alone. We saw those very moving images of children and grandchildren pawing at a window with the elderly person, and we learned how important is touch. We couldn't touch one another. We saw that incredible poverty of the moment. From a priest standpoint, many people familiar to us in our families or in our communities died of COVID. And families would come and say, a member of my family is dying at the hospital, but the hospital wouldn't allow the priest in, understandably. And therefore, the best we could do was some kind nurse would FaceTime me on her phone, and I could pray with the person who was dying. Since the person wanted to get the last rites and wanted to pray before death, but all I could do was a FaceTime given to me by some kind nurse. We learned the heroic outreach by people in the field of medicine who put their lives on the line and worked incredibly long hours to serve the common good. Did we learn about ourselves here? And having gone through all of this, we're still caught in it. I mean, we're back to masks now, which is necessary. We have to listen to the wisdom which speaks to us. So how do we respond to this? After the tension and the conflict, exacerbated by a political and social division of opinion arrogantly expressed in our communities at large, accentuates our differences, our divisions, our misunderstandings. So how do we respond to this? What does this gospel say to us? It said, come aside and rest. Take a second look to understand the teaching. Don't run away. Henry Nouwen, in his marvelous book, The Voice of Inner Love, says, don't run away. Don't bury it. Don't deny it. You have to stand in the reality of the moment, says Henry Nouwen. Try to interpret this, learn, allow it to teach you, allow it to enlighten you somehow. Find a spirituality which will speak to the tensions and the struggles and the conflicts of this time. And all the time, it took a toll on our souls. I'd have called it COVID fatigue. And I asked a number of people if you had experienced COVID fatigue, and they said, yes, we have. And I know I felt it in my own life, where I would be disturbed by things that normally wouldn't disturb me in the past. I was more impatient, more super sensitive. This is a consequence of the tension and division and the imposition and displacement and the disturbing passage we've gone through. So how do we find a spirituality that might begin to enlighten us and teach us how to respond to this and not journey on with a damaged soul? A fatigue in your spirit. In pre-Christian Greece, in their lexicon of deities, there was the goddess Tai Chi. And the Greek goddess Tai Chi was sometimes imaged with a wheel. This image was reproduced in the Roman Academy of Gods and Goddesses, and you'll always see the goddess Fortuna with the wheel. And this was meant in ancient times to say that the goddess Fortuna would spin the wheel, which represents our lives, and it depends on where it stopped. We'd have good fortune or ill fortune. And we never knew, because the goddess could do this at any time. This was their struggle to understand the vagaries of a life. In medieval Christianity, this concept was taken and shaped into a Christian teaching, which you will find in the Gothic cathedrals of Europe, especially in the Gothic cathedrals, because unlike Romanesque, the Gothic architecture emphasized windows. And you will see the rose window in many Gothic cathedrals in Europe. It's a round, very large window speaking about the journey of life. And in the circle, which does not move, it's a stationary circle. At the top of the circle, you've got a man with a crown. And underneath it says regno in Latin, which means I have power. And then following clockwise on the circle, the next station has this man falling and the crown falling from his head with the Latin regnavi, I used to have power. And down at the bottom of the circle, there's an image of a man bowed, and the inscription, sum sine regno, I am powerless, I have no power. And then the other side of the circle said, there's a man rising again, regnabo, I will have power. And he ascends to the place of origin. And in the center of the circle is Christ, which is to say, Christ is there in all experiences of life. And there is no life without a struggle, and there is no gospel without sacrifice. Therefore, we all belong to the circle of life in some manner, and Christ is at the center. And that's the teaching of the gospel. Come aside and rest, and begin to understand the passage of these days and these years with a spirituality that speaks about the presence of Christ in your life. In all experiences of life, Jesus Christ is the one who will give meaning, sustenance, the courage, the hope, the belief, the sustenance we need. in the power of Jesus Christ. Not in anything worldly. You have to listen to the wisdom which is given to us, but somehow the power of Jesus Christ is the strength which somehow carries us. Nicholas of Cusa, 14th century theologian, had this written over his door, which was meant to be a statement about his life. Ubicumque me verto ades, the Latin phrase which means, wherever I turn, you are there. So wherever you go, get this sense. When you're fatigued, when you're down, when you're struggling, when you're uncertain, when you're heavily burdened, remember, wherever you go, Christ is there. Wherever you turn, get the sense that Christ is there. It will frame the challenges, the struggles, the fatigue of these times into a spirituality which should be our guide as followers of Jesus Christ.